4NUE-KI4DOS in the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Which, Ed, I'm glad that that worked out the way it did. It would have worked either way, but, you know, I've got a sticker, Joy's got a sticker in her car in the back window. It says, when all else fails, ham radio. So it seems to work. You know, we talk about putting up antennas and stuff and wait till pretty weather and all of this. But these folks that go out into a disaster area, whether it be a hurricane or tornadoes or the lava coming out of a volcano or whatever, these folks go out there and put antennas up and hook their go boxes up and get on the air to see what they can do to help out. So it does work. It's been several years ago now, Chad. I was talking to a fellow on HF. He was in the Army. He was in Iraq. And he wanted to get a phone call to his mom and dad. And I've got an old phone patch here on my HF rig. And I got the phone number, and I dialed the phone number and got his mom and dad on the phone. And explained to him, I said, only one can talk at the time. You know, while your son's talking, you have to be quiet. And when he gets through, you talk, and then he has to be quiet. And that way you can hear each other. But it was going through my radio, and I heard the whole conversation. But all the little fellow wanted to do was to let his mom and dad know he was going to rotate out in about 2 weeks, and that he would be coming home. And I talked to his parents after they got through talking to their son, and Chad, you'd have thought I gave him $1 million. And I didn't say all of that to pat myself on the back. I did it just to say that that's what ham radio can and will do.
You're exactly right. It is important. So I'm trying to figure out how to word this. So not only is it important to have that motivation or push to get that extra level of license, but it allows you to think outside of the box and to have options that are not available had I not, you know, had that option. And that was just, you know, I don't know how to describe it. It was amazing to be able to, I called KO4QLG, my cousin, and he had my mom on the phone, and I was talking to him on EchoLink from France, and I was able to talk to my mother through, he relayed the traffic. You know, mom would speak on the phone, and then he would relay what mom was saying, and then he would relay back to mom on the cell phone. And, you know, that was just, I don't know, that was pretty important to me, you know, just to hear my mom's voice, you know. But just a wonderful experience. And I guess the last thing, and I'll let you move on. I certainly won't hold anybody else up, but I'm pretty sure I made some Frenchmen mad with my little handy doggy. I don't understand a word they were saying, but I could tell by the way their voice was elevating that, you know, they got a little frustrated with me. But, you know, hey, I figured I'm licensed to operate, so I'm going to operate. Whether they're going to talk to me or not, you know, I have to give it a shot. But I don't think they liked it too much. I don't know. They might have liked it. I don't know. Don't know what they were saying.
Well, that's the way it goes, I guess, Chad. Well, buddy, I can't wait till we can sit down face to face and you can share with me some of your experiences over there. I've been all over the South Pacific and all across the Pacific Ocean, but I've never been across the Atlantic. I've always wanted to go. Now, Joy has been across the Atlantic. She's been over there to England and France and all those places. Not all of them, but a lot of those places over there. And I've been all over the South Pacific, Australia, New Zealand, American Samoa, Fiji, and a lot of other little places like that, but never got across the Atlantic. So I went one way and she went the other, and between the two of us, I guess we've been around the world.
Normandy was France. Was a great trip for us. I enjoyed it. I have been trying to figure out for the last week how to describe anything on, Omaha Beach or Utah Beach. And there's no way to describe that, and I don't want to get all hinky. But I'm just going to have to explain it just like Roland explained it to me. Without emotion or without trying to describe anything, because you can never describe what we saw there. And I just have to go with what Roland said. And he told me before I left was that is something that had to be done. And when there is something that has to be done, it doesn't matter how you word it. It's got to be done. And that's exactly what happened. It got done. And I think for now, that's just the only way I can really put any of that into words. Maybe later I can come up with something better, but I just, I think he pretty much hit the nail on the head. It had to be done, and that's that. There's nothing else to be said. KO4NUE.
KOS and the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, KO4NUE, Mr. Chad. Chad, he said it exactly right. We don't want to think about those things, but sometimes you have to do what you have to do, and it's not always pretty, but it's amazing that what emotions that you can run into when you look at something like that, and it is beyond words. That's all I can say for you. but again, one of these days soon, maybe we can get together over a cup of coffee and we'll sit and talk for a while. But anyway, glad y'all had a good trip. I hate that you had to cut it short and come home because your mom's sister had a stroke. But glad we were able to help out in some small way.
I really appreciate that. You have no idea. And, for anybody else out there listening, I just would like to say that to be able to just ask a total stranger that I don't even know for help, and for them to say, "Yes, sir, I got your back. I got it. What can I do to help you?" And you just think about that for a minute. That's a pretty amazing thing. To have something in common with other people that you don't even know, to say, one station, I'll leave his call out because I haven't asked permission to use it, but he said, let me, when I called and said I'm trying to get in touch with get a message to Gary, that man stopped his truck on the side of the road and said, let me pull over so I can get this down exactly what you want. And right now, I'm going to do it right now. And you're not going to get that in France. that just, that was pretty important to me, and that really meant a lot. So to anybody out there that's listening, if you ever get a call like that, just do it, because you never know, you might need it yourself. And with that, Gary, I'm gonna let you go. I'm not gonna hold up the net, but I appreciate you for all you do on the net. Everybody on the net, KO4NUE, and I'll be clear on your final, but I'll hang around after Ragged You. KO4NUE, I'm clear, Gary.
You're gonna have to get you some rest sooner or later. I know you didn't sleep on that plane, but. I don't even know what time you left France, but I know you were headed this way, and y'all hadn't had a whole lot of rest anyway. But get you some rest, and get in touch with me later, and maybe we'll get together and drink a cup of coffee or whatnot. But you take care of Miss Anna, I know you will, and we'll be talking to you a little bit later. Enjoyed it there, Chad, as always, and look forward to doing it again. We have additional check-ins all the way through the alphabet for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Call KI4DOS.
DOS, can I make a comment, Gary?
Yes, sir, Roland, go ahead.
This will probably take a couple of minutes, but listen, I was just listening to you and Chad talking. When D-Day took place, it was June of 1944, I was 15 years old. And I had three brothers in the military at the time, and they were all older than me. And my father was a bundle of nerves. Well, anyway, when the United States found out about D-Day, the headlines in a local newspaper was going to be 6 inches high. Everybody was celebrating. Everybody was glad. Everybody was jumping up and down. It was unreal how glad the United States was. And they used the print in the local paper. They would have a map of Europe as an example. And the areas that was controlled by Germany was all in black. And just about all of Europe, except England and Switzerland, was in black. And every day it would shrink and shrink, and the people could not wait to get the daily newspaper. As you know, in them days, there was no such thing as a television. If you wanted to see pictures about the war, you had to go to the movies. Well, anyways, the black area was getting smaller and smaller. In fact, my father used to cut it out in a newspaper and hang it on the wall and compare it from day to day how much we were gaining. But that was an unbelievable best thing that the American people saw that had ever happened to them. And like Chad said, they used to say, is this trip necessary? And they used to say, yes, that trip was necessary. K1CJW. Go ahead, Chad. Go ahead, Gary.
Roland, not many folks are around today that were around when all of this happened. And my hat is off to you there, young man. You've lived through a lot more than I have, and I've lived through a bunch, and I don't want to remember some of it, and I'm sure you're the same way. But appreciate you bringing that to us, and thank you for your comments, and just thank you for being here and being able to share with us there, Roland. I enjoyed it, whether anybody else did or not. I think Chad was going to clear out, but I'll see if he's wanting to make a comment. KO4NUE, comment.
So, Roland, I just, like I said, I want to appreciate your help. Roland stood by the radio every day from 4 to 5 so I could check in with him and help me with the family situation I had. And that was just, absolutely amazing to know that I looked down at my cell phone and I have no bars or this or that, and I just, you know, I could hit Echolink and get right to rolling. I mean, instantly. And that was pretty amazing. I tell you, another thing is that Chris was up at the shop, and he called my mother to tell her what was going on with her sister. And my mother was on the phone with Chris while I was talking to Roland on the radio, and he's got a radio there in the shop. And would you believe that woman was in having a conversation with Chris, and she was able to pick out that was me on the radio talking, and just stopped in mid-sentence and said, is that Chad? Is that my son? And I just thought, man, I'm telling you, there's something about a mother. I don't know what it is, but, you know, I don't know how to describe that, really. But, you know, Mama's getting on up in some age, and she knew that was me. That's all I can say.
On radio long enough to know that FM sounds like you do any other time, you know, when you're face-to-face or whatnot. You sound the same. I recognize people's voices. You will get to this point at some time if you haven't done it already. I went up to Waynesville Ham Fest 1 year, and I heard this man speak, and I turned around and I called him by name and call sign, and I never met him, but his voice was so familiar that I knew who he was. And mothers are special. They really are. And they got it's a sixth sense when it comes to their children. They can tell you when something's happened to them, or, you know, and they don't even know about it. Yeah, I got a bad feeling that something's happened. And sure enough, it turns out that happens sometimes. But I'm glad that your mom was able to hear you on the radio when you were talking to Chris.
Chris was, at first he keyed the mic and was just letting Mama talk straight into the microphone. And I'm not sure I'm not sure you can do that. So I just told him, hey, you know, you're going to have to relay, because I don't think you can transmit like that. And, boy, she was giving me a scolding. I mean, she was just a fussing. I think Chris filtered some of that out for me. But, oh, my goodness, she was on me, buddy.
Well, you'll know that is legal. It's called third-party traffic. And all Chris had to do was say, Chad, will you accept some third-party traffic? And if you say yes, then your mom can get on there and talk to you just like she was talking to you on the telephone.
That's third-party traffic. She can do that. But what I'm saying is that she was on the cell phone, and she wasn't physically there for Chris to control. He was thinking he could just key the mic and let Mama talk through the cell phone into the radio, and that was just, I wasn't sure about that. So me or him, one could have requested third party traffic if she is there for him to control the radio. I don't know what I'm trying to say, but I didn't want to take a chance on it, and just got him to relay for me. But that was kind of comforting. I'm nearly 50, and you know, just I don't know, hear your mama's voice when you're far away. That's, you know, that's kind of important.
For one thing, there, Chad, You said it yourself. Chris was had the control of the radio. He was still in control because all he had to do was release the mic button, you know, the push to talk button. So he was still in control. So just think about it a little bit. It'd be all right. But glad y'all had a good trip, and sorry it was cut short. I don't know if Roland's got anything else for us tonight or not, but we'll go back to Roland one time, and then since you're going to be around a little bit, Chad, I'll close the net out in case there's some other folks who want to get in there and talk to you. K1CJW, anything else, Roland?
Yeah, K1CJW, it's a couple of more things I can probably, one for sure I can probably add to my comment there. When they had D-Day, President Roosevelt was the president, and he kept telling the American people that because some of the American people were against, but not too many of them, but he kept telling the American people that if we don't fight them over there and eliminate them, we will be fighting them in New York and Washington. And that sort of that sort of helped the situation an awful lot. And like I said before, I have a problem. I cannot remember. The other thing is my mind ain't so sharp. But that was one of the biggest comments, was Roosevelt convinced the American people that was really, really necessary, because if we didn't, like I just said, if we did not fight them in Europe, we would be fighting them in New York. And that put the scare on the people. K1CJW.
Roland, he told the truth, no doubt about it. And folks, if you don't believe what Roland's saying, think about 911 up there when those planes flew into the Trade Center towers up there in New York. They brought it to us on our soil, and it can get a lot worse. But Roland, again, thanks for the comment. Anything else, Chad, before I see if I got, well, let me see if I got any other check-ins first, all the way through the alphabet for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call KI4DOS. Chad?
As far as the net goes, I'll hang around afterwards. I was wanting to talk with Larry for a few minutes, too. But I'm clear, Gary.
Chad, sure would like to get one more check-in to wind up with a nice even round number. Any other check-ins or any other comments for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net? Call KI4DOS.
DOS. Gary, K4ROW, portable. Richard Greenville, no traffic, no roundtable.
ROW, Mr. Richard over there at Portable in Greenville tonight. Got you. Been there real good there, Richard. Appreciate you coming in, and you made number 60 tonight, just to let you know. Any other check-ins or any other comments before I close the net out? Call KI4DOS.
In Kilo Yankee 4 Echo Foxtrot Barry in Central, no comments and no announcements, Gary. Thank you for calling the net.
Good evening. KY4EF, Mr. Barry down in Central. Appreciate you being with us tonight, Barry. Hope you're doing well. Any other check-ins or any other comments before I close it out? Call KI4DOS. Just had a good net tonight. Great bunch of rag chewers. Appreciate each and every one of you out there in Radio Land that checked in with me tonight. Come back again tomorrow night, and Mr. Matt, WG4MC, will be calling. Give him a good dose of rider's cramp. This is KI4DOS, now securing the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. With our thanks for all those folks checked in with us, we will now return the repeater to normal amateur use. 73, good night, God bless. This is KI4DOS, clear. That is all you now.
For JBQ, KO4NUE.
For NUE, KK4JBQ here. I was just talking with Donna and letting her know that that you got back in town and the reason for your rush home and all that. It is good to talk to you on native soil, sir.
Nothing like Campobello. I had a good time and all, but man, I'm telling you, those that flight just—it's brutal. I mean, just brutal. But anyway, Larry, I'm just gonna talk with you for a few minutes and let you know what I got here. Not sure how to preserve these things, and they made it through the travel. I just was not possible to keep them flat. There's no way. But I mean, they're in good shape. It's just I don't exactly know what to do with them up to this point. I'll talk with you about that offline, I guess. But if you got a minute, I'm just going share with you what I got.
Okay, if you were talking about your rubbings, they should be laid flat, and if you have, I mean, practically anything, waxed paper, even plastic wrap, to interleave, that is to keep it from touching the back of another sheet, but you can stack them up if you interleave with other paper, and you know they should be protected with a fixative, a spray on. I mean, I've read a good deal about rubbings, or the art word for it is frottage, frottage, and that's a French word. How about that? I've read that you can use hairspray, but I wouldn't. KK4JBQ.
Got eight of them, I think, and some other stuff. But if you don't mind, I mean, I don't want to get all weird here, but I just gonna share their names with you for if you don't mind.
I'm real interested.
Not able to get the rubbings off of the beaches. Just the wind was just so bad, and the rain. I can't remember if I told you that or not, but I just was not able. We went back two times and tried two times and just could not do it. The second time I had a whole roll of paper, and it just took the whole roll out of my hand, and 25 feet of it was gone in just an instant. So I'll tell you about that later, I guess. But anyway, so we went to the cemetery and got eight rubbings out of the cemetery. One of them is a Jewish, the Star David. And his name is Joseph Preiser, and he was a private and belonged to the 359th Infantry Division. And the second one is Charles Cushing, a sergeant with the 337 Bomb Squadron, 96 Bomb Group from Connecticut. And then Wills Cuba, PFC 8th Infantry Division, Ohio. And I got two of these. Here rests in honored glory, a comrade in arms, known only but to God. No idea. And the other one that was really interesting was Reese Walter, PFC, 262nd Infantry, 66th Division, South Carolina. I won't read the rest of them to you, but they turned out really well, and yeah, so let me stop there and see what you think about that.
You got quite a variety of rubbings there. I don't know if that was a random selection or if each one of those had been requested by other people back home here. But that was when I, you know, when you took your trip, I got quite interested in what you might be seeing, and I surfed the web for several days while you were gone, and I learned that, yes, the markers were, I guess there's a law there that only three of the world's religions were recognized with special markers. That was Judaism and Christianity, and that would be all, and Roman Catholic, of course. That was, you know, a large group, I suppose, were of the Catholic. But those three were special shapes. And then there were those that were Medal of Honor. They had stars on the vertical portion of the marker. Medal of Honor recipients. And then the one that you read that was known only to God, there were, I think, over 140, if I remember the count, over 140 unknowns. And that's how their graves were marked. The individual bodies were buried, and then those markers, known only to God. It's for anybody, you know, and this was before I was, this all happened before my birth in 51. So it will touch anybody. It will touch everybody. And I thank you for bringing it home. KK4JBQ.
I had a couple of requests. One of them was the bomb squadron. And I got one for Roland, but I believe I got his state wrong. I for some reason, I was thinking he's from Connecticut. And the K-1 call, I can't remember what the one is, but I must have been tired or something. But, and then another one is going to the American Legion there in Tryon, and then I'm going to get them framed up nice. I'm not going to just hand them a piece of paper. I'll fix them up nice, and so they can... One could go to Columbus at the House of Flags, and then the other one will go to the American Legion post there in Tryon. And so that's it for the rubbins. And then I found an older fella there right outside of Omaha Beach. And he goes around with metal detectors and finds these, you know, artifacts or, you know, leftover remnants of, you know, whatever. And brought back 8 bullets. They're 8 millimeter Mauser, which means that, you know, that would have been German, and was able to find one 303 British. So I brought back 8 of those, and what else? Oh yeah, I found a, he also had a bayonet that fits an M1 Garand, and it's in pretty good shape considering, you know, and I brought that back to you. So I'm gonna get me a little display and, you know, hang them here on the wall in the ham shack. But interesting. I still, for the life of me, Larry, I cannot put the beaches in words. I just can't do it. And it's the first time in my life that I have not been able to look at something and describe it. I cannot do it. I mean, I hate to keep bringing that up, but I just cannot, for the life of me, do it.
I understand. If you have been in Washington at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier during the changing of the guard, that solemn ceremonial thing was to just behold something like that and to know what is going on. You have to know what's going on. It means more to you if you can internalize what's going on. But even so, to be in a cemetery like that, all I could look at this past week was photographs. But even that has its impact. When you can look at the way the markers were laid out in a geometric pattern, just amazing, and to be standing on that ground is, you sort of feel, I think you might feel like it's holy ground, you know. KK4JPQ.
When you go to the memorial there above Omaha, Larry, did you get some of the videos I sent you? I haven't sent them all. I'm just going to string them all together and put them up on YouTube, I guess. That's probably the easiest thing to do. So, I guess primarily for my family to see. But I guess anybody could go see them, I guess. I just got to figure out how to get it edited. But the cemetery, I mean, starting in the parking lot, you know, the parking lot was not full, but I think our guide said that there's anywhere from 150 to 170,000 people a year come and look at the, you know, walk through the cemetery. And I thought that compared to Arlington, I mean, this place was immaculate. I mean, just beautiful flowers and grass and trees and just, I mean, perfect. I mean, there wasn't anything out of place. And just very well cared for. Which, you know, one thing I did notice was that there was a young boy. He was French. He was probably 12 years old, 10 to 12, I'd say. He was a younger fella. And his little sister had a lollipop, and she she was, you know, just crunching on that lollipop. And when she got through eating her lollipop, she just threw the little plastic stick down there on the walkway. And he went back and got her. He she's about 3-4 steps ahead of him. And he went over and said something to the mother. And she, I don't know what she said to both of them, but he grabbed her by the hand and brought her back, you know, 4-5 steps, I guess, and said something to her in French, and he made her pick that thing up. And so she got it and had the old poochy lip, you know, but she took it over and handed it to her mother, and her mother put it in the pocketbook, and, she, you know, I thought that was really... That was really nice, you know. That's when I realized, you know, that. And then about 10 minutes later, Dad got a young child that was being loud. He got him under control real quick, you know. But I mean, it was a beautiful place. And it's nothing like Arlington, really. Nothing like it.
KK4JBQ with KO4NUE. I think, you know, during a period probably beginning in the 70s through the 80s, we had our confrontation with litter in this country. You know, I think it maybe was it. Was it Jacqueline Kennedy that began this pitch it in thing? It's been so long ago now. Just a campaign started by one of the first ladies about picking up litter and not littering to begin with. And then, of course, all of the civic clubs that have charge of a certain stretch of road to keep it clean and not an eyesore. It's a lack of respect. That's simply what it is. It's a lack of respect to roll down your window and toss something out. And it's, you know, I would think that if you know as a nation, if you know that your very existence and the life of every one of your citizens was involved when Hitler invaded France and all of the other Western European nations, he was going to obliterate people, families, wipe them off the face of the earth. It was genocide. It was purification. You know, if you know anything about what his drivers were, it was to purify the human race. And that was to eliminate those that were thought not to be pure. So, anyway, they came under the gun, and so many lives were lost that the memory of that is very deep, and the only way to pass it along to the generations that come later is to teach them a respect. I was impressed by the photographs that I, you know, as I've said several times already, but I noticed just how manicured and pristine the photographs were. Well, I thought, well, this is just after the caretaker has been over the grounds. But now I understand from you that probably it's always that way. It's always attended to. That's all I can think, that maybe it's just always that way. KK4JBQ.
At the end of every day, the attendants rope off a different area on the grounds so that when foot traffic comes in the next day, it doesn't trample the ground. So you don't have people walking over the same area every day. I mean, it's an ordeal. And they had security guards posted there. I saw three of them, and they were, you know, walking amongst the cemetery, watching people, you know, I guess. They had normally they have an open chapel on the other end of the cemetery as well, where you can, you know, they have a guy there that's, he's a monk or a priest or whatever you want to call it, there, you know, every day of the week. But because of COVID, they've shut that down because it was a really small chapel thing. But, yeah. So, anyway, let me change gears here. I don't want to get bogged down with this because I mean, it's an endless conversation. But, so we trying to get back to the States, we ended up in Reims, which is about an hour and a half from Charles de Gaulle Airport. And we stayed in an Airbnb right in Reims and found this little shop that, you know, had some food and some kind of meatballs, something or another, and then some kind of spinach and cheese casserole kind of thing. And Anna brought it up back up to the apartment, I mean to the Airbnb, and man, I'm going to tell you, just as soon as she took the wrapper off of that, I just said, that is goat cheese. I can smell it. And I couldn't eat it, Larry. We've had goats here for years and made cheese and drank the milk, and I don't know what's, I mean, my goats, they got a little smell to it, you know, but man, this was strong. I mean, it was just almost repulsive. I didn't know what to think about that.
Oh, gosh. KK4JBQ with KO4NUE. Well, I rather like goat cheese. You find it here in the United States. You find it with a lot of Greek in a Greek restaurant, and it is pungent. Donna does not like it, but I like things with a strong flavor. I like coffee where you can stand a spoon up in it. You know, just the way my dad drank it. You know, I like strong flavors. So it must have been aged, this cheese that filled the room with a pungent odor. It must have been aged. And that makes it ever so more valuable. You know, it's more valuable to some people because it's been aged and it has that tanginess. Yeah. Well, but goats have a different, and it's really dependent whether it's cows or goats or any animals we can drink the milk of. It depends on what they fed on, whether it was grain or if it was grass or, you know, that'll give a certain flavor to the milk. Of course, KK4JBQ.
Secret to that is, if you want it strong, a real strong flavor, you keep a billy. Keep a billy goat with the nannies when they're milking. and it's just unbelievably strong. If you can separate the billy, then it tones the flavor down a little bit. But this must have been some kind of super billy or something, because I didn't even want to taste it. It was that bad. But the other stuff was good. And we brought back some cider. And we went to one restaurant. And I forget what we ordered. But the owner of the place came out. He was, you know, he spoke some broken English. But I wanted a glass of wine with the meal. And she said, this is what kind of wine I want. And he told her, no. No, you're not going to drink that kind of wine with my food. So, I didn't know quite what to think about that either. But, you know, I mean, he made the right choice. But he just broke it down and told her, this is, you know, what you drink with this, and this is what you drink with that. And, I mean, he was right, but he just flat out said no.
That's something. I believe, you know, the English language and what we, the words that we use are, they're not our own. We didn't come up with them. Not all of them, certainly. I was talking with Donna about this a few weeks ago. She took French in high school, which was many years ago, and she says she doesn't remember anything. But the word couth is French, meaning, loosely, meaning sophisticated or correct or appropriate. If you're uncouth, then you're unsophisticated and you don't know what's correct and, you know, so on and so forth. But the French, they're famous for this. Oh, for one thing, they're famous for foods, I think, or maybe styles of preparation of foods. And their sauces are just, you know, renowned in culinary circles. But what you would have heard a waiter in a fine restaurant in the United States say, may I suggest a more appropriate wine? I know the food. But the French are more direct. You know, the problem that they have with it is that you made the wrong selection. And because you don't understand the food. That's what they're saying. And so, yeah, you know, we're just less confrontational, especially about food. I mean, food is everything from peanut butter to, you know, more sophisticated foods. And any of it's good. KK4JBQ.
So the other thing I was going to share with you was on the way to, from the airport, on the way in to Bayou or Bayou. Roland fusses at me when I say Bayou, but I just can't pronounce the proper way. But we stopped at we had to get something to eat. We were hungry, so we stopped at this little thing on the side of the road. It's kind of hard to explain. You have to go out of your way to find it's not like, you know, there's a Hardee's or a Burger King or on every corner in the United States. It's not like that there. you don't go in to eat a meal and leave quickly. You're going to be in there for 2 hours to get your meal. And that's just the way they are, you know. But we stopped off at this little place to get something. And you could tell it was a little local restaurant or whatever. And we got probably 10, 15 minutes into the meal. And this older couple comes in. I'd say they're probably in their 70s, I'd say. Both of them had walking canes. And I don't know what that old man said to her, but boy, he got her riled in a hurry. And she grabbed that cane, and she was pointing that cane, and she was letting him have it. I mean, just loud, you know. I mean, just, I told Anna, I got in the car, and I said, well, I don't guess it don't matter what country you go to, some things never change, I guess.